Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. As a child, Victor Marx survived four abusive stepfathers. While attending 14 schools and living in 17 houses by the time he graduated from high school, he found discipline in life, from martial arts, earning his 7th degree black belt. He also served in the United States Marine Corps. A relationship with God has made all the difference to Victor Marx. Relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. He's here with us today and joining us to share heart to heart with you as we typically do. You know, we remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know him, to know his love, to know the hope that is found in Jesus. Victor embodies that. That's Victor's message. All things are possible with God. You know, God loves you so much, dear friend. He sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. Christ shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has redeemed Victor and changed him and sent him out to reach millions around the world, is calling you. My friend, would you open your heart to Jesus Christ? That's our hope. That's our prayer. And we believe the Lord today will move mightily in your life in a very special way. You know, after going into his first juvenile facility to share his story with a group of incarcerated kids in 2002, Victor founded All Things Possible Ministries, ATP. It's a faith-based organization working on a global scale to free children from abuse and the effects of its trauma, that and so much more. His story is chronicled in his autobiography, The Victor Marx Story. He's married to Eileen. He joins us today. Victor, welcome to our show.
Danny, it is great to be with you and Suzanne. Thank you all for the opportunity.
Victor, where did you grow up?
Well, I'm a Southern boy. I was born in Louisiana and spent a lot of time on the bayous. And then, you know, we moved around a lot. So we spent time in three main states, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas.
What was it like, you know, being the moving around, the abuse, growing up with such austere conditions is too light to describe what you went through. But what was it like?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're a kid, instability becomes a way of life because you don't know any difference. There's nothing to compare it to. So I think with the, you know, the multiple stepfathers and the moving around in different schools, you adjust, you do the best you can. But like most people who have suffered abuse, it causes, you know, secondary effects in your regular life. So what I mean is, you know, maybe the night before your stepfather's drunk, there's fighting, there's, you know, crazy, horrible stuff happening, and then you have to get up the next day, catch that bus, and go to school and act like, you know, nothing wrong has happened. So I think, you know, it affected me just in school, my inability to study, to, you know, to excel in academics.
Victor, was there anyone in your recollection that stands out as someone who influenced you significantly during that time?
Yeah, you know what? I will say that most people, regardless of their background, if they pause to kind of reflect and take an honest look, God, you know, although he doesn't cause this evil that happens to kids, he is there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And I know God would bring people into my life just almost like to pull me up out of the water, to take a breath, you know. And whether it was a Sunday school teacher or, you know, a coach or regular school teacher, someone that would just acknowledge me, and it didn't take much, just acknowledge me as a kid who had value, and that God loved me, and to give me hope. And those are what I call messengers of hope. Because without hope, you really can't receive or enjoy love. There is no faith. Hope is the one thing that breathes life, that keeps a person going in great despair. So there was definitely several people that the Lord brought into my life for a short amount of times that would, again, just infuse me with hope. Don't give up. Don't give up.
Victor, tell our listeners how many siblings you had and where you were in the family placement, please.
There were six kids in our family, and I was kind of the middle. I was number four, and between us there were two biological dads. So I had a couple older brothers, an older sister, me, and then two younger sisters. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
How did you become a Christian?
Well, you know, I was born Catholic, then we were raised Baptist, and then we hit the charismatic movement for a while. Mm-hmm. So I was very much church. I tell people I even had a rabbit's foot. I mean, I was trying to cover it all. Mm. And it's weird because that can help and hurt the same way. I do remember this. I remember my mother, you know, I'd wake up at 2 a.m. and she's sobbing, you know, on the couch. Another horrible, you know, I mean, just our circumstances were horrible. And she'd be crying, but her Bible would be open and she'd be reading and underlining. Hmm. So I saw that was her lifeline to want to stay alive. Because there were times she just wanted it to all go away. But then the flip side of that coin was, because of the great inconsistency, I used to think, well, if this is as good as Jesus can do, you know, I better look for something else. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't until we were hiding in a closet from one of our stepfathers who was drunk, pulled out a gun, started shooting things around the house, and then I realized, oh my goodness, we're about to die. And then my mother called on the name of Jesus. She actually said, the blood of Jesus covers us. The blood of Jesus covers us. And my stepfather, when he tried to, you know, he never entered the room, and he couldn't. There was something that was holding him back. And I knew at that point that Jesus had to be really, not only real, but still alive, you know? And I thought at that point, okay, you know, I like this. There's something really powerful about him. And that was just one point in my life, but it wasn't until I was in the United States Marine Corps and had accomplished everything for my very small worldview, and still empty, still hurting, and wondering, you know, what is life about? I'd learned how to fight. I'd learned how to chase the girls, although most of them were way faster than me. And, you know, but I was experiencing such emptiness, and that's when my biological dad, who actually didn't claim me as, because him and my mother had got a divorce. I was kind of an aftermath of all that. But he sent me a letter saying, hey, I know you think I'm crazy. And I'm thinking, yeah, you spend time in a mental hospital, same one your dad, my grandfather, died in. I figured we just had a timeshare in it. And he goes, this time I'm crazy for Jesus Christ. And it was actually through his initial letter and inviting me to come visit him, which I did. I took a leave of absence from the Corps. You know, I had a 30-day leave. And I went and visited him, and he invited me to a church. And I was thinking, ah, here we go again. You know, and I was thinking, what's his angle? But he invited a bunch of really tough guys, so I wasn't about to say no. When I went, I saw them worshiping God, singing to God in a way that was pretty committed. And I thought, whoa. And it was at that point, really, I felt conviction in my life for sin, for things I had done wrong. And I knew I was a sinner. And at that moment, I stopped blaming people. I mean, it was on me, decisions I made, sins I had done. And at the same time, you know, I felt God's love pour out on me. And I couldn't believe it. It was a paradox, because he's telling me he loves me when I, for the first time, really realized how desperately wicked I am. And I just thought, well, because I was raised, you know, you never hit a man when he's down, you kick him. So I thought, Lord, this is the perfect time for you to kick me. I am down. I know it. I deserve it. And yet, he just kept telling me he loved me. So that's when I surrendered my life to Christ. It was actually June 22nd, 1986. And I wish I could say I've been the best super Christian in the world, but I haven't. I've just been someone who's known how to cling to Jesus and found my strength in him in a pretty dark world and having to overcome challenges of my past. And he has always been faithful.
The story of Victor Marks. You can actually watch the story. It's a movie. You know how sometimes people say, man, your story is like a movie. Well, his is a movie. You can find out more about it. You can watch it. That and other resources, amazing resources. Victor Marks, you can find it at victormarks.com. Victor is speaking all over the country, all throughout the world. And he is also doing some very, very, well, they call it high-risk missions. He'll talk more about that when we come back from our break. When he was a kid, there were people that God sent to him, people, teachers, coaches, friends, families, family members, things that may seem odd, but they were actually people who bore the oxygen of hope just to keep him going, keep him going. And today, the Lord sends Victor Marks, oxygen of hope, to you. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
He hadn't seen his father for a long time. His father had been in a mental institution, and well, so did his grandfather. But did you know that after his biological dad became a Christian, he helped Victor find salvation in the Lord? Their relationship restored. Get this now. Victor had his dad as his best man at his wedding. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Amashiro here, my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. Victor Marks is with us today. What a blessing it is to have you with us today, joining us as he shares in the unique way, the gifted way that only Victor Marks can, sharing heart to heart with you. You can find out more about Victor and his ministry, All Things Possible. Don't you like that? Don't you love that?
I love it.
All Things Possible.
Amen.
You can find out more at victormarks.com. Victor, you lead high-risk missions as part of ATP. Describe them for us.
Well, it's nothing we ever planned, but I will say this. Before I became a Christian, you know, I'm in the United States Marine Corps. I'm hard charging. I'm a martial artist. I'm fighting. I'm doing all this. And when I would think of Christians, I would go, man, that sounds like a boring life. And, you know, what am I going to do? You know, it's amazing that God has imprinted each one of us with his DNA for his will for our life. And it's only in going completely surrendered are we able to experience that. That which is big enough for our heart. I'm not talking about just being religious. You know, I'm talking about really understanding and being the thumbprint that God's made you. And for me, I always had a desire, no doubt, because of the redemptive factor of what God has done for me after abuse I suffered as a kid, being locked in a commercial cooler for dead, knowing what it's like to be electrocuted or dunked in a tub till I passed out, and physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. And even the doctors, you know, after 123 visits to a trauma specialist, having a psychiatrist or the medications I was on, including Depakote, Depakine, Prozac, Zoloft, lithium, Buspar, to have a psychiatrist say your mind will never fully function because of the acute PTSD that you have. And I'm glad I've always been a little bit of sassy. I was like, well, my mind never completely worked anyway. But God's redemptive factor, he put in me a desire to help kids. And like you said earlier, Danny, was starting with reaching kids who were incarcerated. And as Suzanne knows, and I want the audience to know, we've been able to, I just returned from my fifth trip to Iraq. And in the last, since last year, we've helped facilitate at least 14 missions to what we would call high-risk areas or high-threat. And that's to bring hope. That's practically to bring food or water or to help kids and girls who've been held captive by ISIS. And you know, there's been the big battle for Mosul. It was Sinjar before, and right now it's uprooting ISIS in this huge city. Once it was over a million people in populace in Iraq that ISIS took over. And we were just there week before last with our team and part of another team that we worked together. And I'll tell you, you talk about high risk. When you're driving and ISIS is shooting mortars at you and you're laughing, they're not hitting you, that's when you know, okay, we're right in the middle of it. But yet to see girls' faces or kids, and I've got, they can go to my Facebook page. They can go to our YouTube channel, which has got over 30 million views right now. It's amazing to see what God is doing, and he's privileged us to play a small part of it. And when I say our teens, we're backed by people who pray that have no doubt kept us alive, no doubt. And I'm thankful for all the prayer warriors and those that support us to do this. But yeah, it's unique work in high risk and high threat areas. And if that's big enough for some people's hearts who's listening, just don't underestimate what God can do with your life as you're faithful to obey Him and trust Him in very small things. You know, you just don't know where He'll take you.
Victor, I want to backtrack just a little bit because you're using the term we, and I know there's a team, but there's a very important part of that we. So can you tell us a little bit about Eileen, where you met, and let's get her in this.
You bet. My bride of, we just celebrated 28 years this past weekend.
Congratulations.
Five children. Thank you. You know what? God knew that I absolutely needed her for multiple reasons. She has bulldog faith. She never gave up on me through my struggles. And you know, I met her at church, and I still think that's one of the best places you can meet someone. Mm-hmm. Not saying that all people who pretend to be Christians are going to be good choices for spouses, but I'll say this, as when a person's single, trust the Lord to bring you and your spouse together. You don't have to try to make anything happen. You'll know. And I knew with her. So she is not only an unbelievable, incredible woman as a wife and a super mom to our five kids. She, you know, she's a co-laborer in the ministry and has gone into Iraq with me. And even today, because this is all new news, your audience is getting a chance to hear it first. We just secured a location in Iraq for us to have a safe house residence office. And we're going to be moving there after the, you know, here probably in the next few months. And
praise,
establishing,
praise
yeah.
That
yeah.
is answered
so,
prayer.
It really is. I mean, it really is. So we're excited, and we're thankful to God. And we're very, now, we believe in God and His power to protect, but and we also believe in wisdom. So I don't want people to think that we're just, you know, unwise. We drive armored vehicles. At times we do have security or carry tools of defense to protect ourselves or innocent people if we're being targeted. So I want to let people know that we're very, very, we use a lot of wisdom and discretion when it comes time for being in and now going to live in a, you know, high-risk area.
Can you share just real quickly when you ask Eileen about this move?
Well, after I got off the ground from her knocking me down, no, that's a joke. That's a joke. I mean, when I told her on my first mission to go in and take a team, she said, "Honey, I think the Lord wants me to go." I was like, "Oh, no way." I said, "Well, we're going to be around ISIS, and that's a bad deal." And she goes, "Well, when you find the girls, and I know you will, you can't hug them, but I can." And I said, "You mean you're willing to risk your life to hug these girls?" And I never forget what she said, Suzanne. She goes, "What's the worst that can happen? We die?" Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Yeah." And she goes, "But then don't we win?" Mm-hmm. And when she said that, it challenged my faith to go, why are you so fearful to die? Mm-hmm. You know, it's because if you live in the fear of death, you'll never be able to live in the power of God's life for all He wants, because you're wasting energy. You know how we tell our kids and my wife, especially when we decided to go to Iraq? There's a difference between fear and danger. Fear is emotions, imaginations, and it's really unreal because it's just in your mind. Mm-hmm. No, it's just in your mind. Danger is real. when it's present. And we told our children, the way we practice, and we don't give time a day to fear. Danger, on the other hand, we address and we make safe and do what we need to. But that's a way where you save your energy from having just combat these false imaginations appearing real. Mm-hmm. And that's what fear is.
Well, I love, just real quickly, that you ask her if she, if I have the story right, you ask her if she thought about moving there, and she said yes, that the Lord had told her. And you said, and why didn't you tell me? I mean, I love that.
And well, She, you know, she spent time in prayer with the Lord, and then she came to me, and she's like, honey, did the Lord tell you we're supposed to move to Iraq? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, well, why didn't you tell me? I was like, listen to what you're saying. I think that's better for the father to tell you instead of a husband. You know.
That's so good for our listeners. Thank you for setting that straight and sharing that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you know. So prayer is important, and hearing the Lord. It's like my wife says, she goes, you know, I think the Lord's talking often. It's just, are we listening?
Well, the Lord described Eileen through Victor just a while ago. She has bulldog faith. She's relentless in loving him as a husband, relentless in obeying God, as you can hear, at all costs. We're having a conversation right now with a man who is not just saying, I'm willing to lay it on the line. He is laying it on the line, his life. I mean, not only that, his wife with that same characteristic, same faith, bulldog faith. Where does bulldog faith come from? Could it be that it comes from a God who has a bulldog love for you, a relentless love, dear friend, as you listen to Victor Marx today? Well, he sends him here to share with you, to remind you that with that relentless faith that characterizes his story, it's that kind of love. God is going after you all because he loves you. And he goes after you not when things are great, when things are good and smooth. No, no, no. He's there when it's bad, when you're at your worst, your weakest, your most shameful moments. The Lord is there in his love for you. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, you got to check this out. Go to victormarx.com. I'm just going to give you a snapshot of it. Just think elevator scene elevator scene, Victor and Eileen in an elevator, and something happens there. They're confronted, and what takes place after that? Well, it will pull you in not only to watch what takes place next, but the Victor Marx story. You'll hear and you'll see what God is doing in and through him and their ministry, all things possible. Victor leads high-risk mission teams overseas for the purpose of offering hope and the love of God in a tangible way to groups that are hurting, outcasts, those who have suffered abuse in the hands of evil. You can find out more again at victormarx.com. You might be tuning in right now. You say, Danny, I caught the tail end of the last segment. I want to listen to this entire program. Is it possible? Well, all things are possible. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get this, the free podcast. And I would encourage you, share it with a family member or a friend. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Victor, a Muslim leader, a sheikh or an imam whom you've worked with was recently shot. Did he survive?
He did. And we were shocked, but we all count the cost of meeting. We actually, he's an influential, there's about 12,000 mosques under his reach. He's a thought leader, about 300 million Muslims. And he wanted to meet to help discuss, coming together with a common message against extremists, against evil that are doing some of the most horrendous things in the world in the name of, Islam. And I'll tell you, and I want to encourage Christians, you know, it's so easy to cast a hatred on any other religion. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal, is God loves everyone, mm-hmm. including Muslims. Mm-hmm. And although we don't agree on the path to salvation and on, you know, the person of Jesus Christ, that never is supposed to stop us from being a witness and showing them really the love of Christ. And it's because of our work in Iraq, risking our lives, going on multiple missions, helping kids and women, from persecuted Christians to Yazidis to even Muslims who've been captured, caught, affected by ISIS and other extremists, that he calls me a man of the book because they do like the Old Testament. And he says, let's meet and talk about it. So we actually met out of Iraq in a neutral country. This is a guy that travels in a 10-car armored up convoy of security because of his influence and power. And he actually has a desire to run for president of Iraq. Just to put in perspective who he is, after a two-hour meeting, all captured on film, with amazing, amazing just sound bites of his heart and, you know, position on extremism, how he hates it and wants peace for the region. And even I was able to share my testimony with him of what Jesus has done for me. And, you know, like, he was visibly moved. And this is what shocked me most about the meeting. He leaned forward because I was told he had never met with a Christian leader, ever. Mm-hmm. And he leaned forward after I shared my testimony, and he said, I have met the Billy Graham. And I said, what? What? He said, I spent 3 hours in a private meeting with him many, many years ago. He goes, he gave me a Bible, and I told him I would try to read one page a day. And I'm saying, oh, my goodness. Well, after this great meeting, within 48 hours, he flew back to Iraq, and an ISIS sniper shot him. They were in a town of Bashika that I was in the day before. Nobody knew because we were doing high-risk stuff. And he stepped out of his car. And I just found out today, I mean, literally just hours ago, the details. The sniper took the shot, and caught part of the armored vehicle, the door, when he opened the door, and it hit him in his shoulder, and it was only centimeters away from his neck, which would have been a kill shot.
Mm-hmm.
Blood everywhere. They thought he was going to die. We asked people to start praying, and he did not die. And he's looking forward to continuing our relationship, you know, because I just got word today. So, yeah, you know what? I have Christians that come against me for meeting with senior leaders in the Islamic world, and I'm like, well, I'm an evangelist, so kind of cool for me. Are you going to go be a light? You know, how else are they going to see and meet a born-again believer to be able to know that Jesus is alive and is doing things? So it's been very, very cool.
Well, you've need the divine Teflon to just let those critical comments just roll right off, dear brother. You're doing what you've been called to do. You are fulfilling your calling as an evangelist. We need evangelists with your heart, the Spirit of God in you, in us. I need that courage, that faith. You inspire me, Victor Marks.
Praise the Lord.
May you inspire many, many others who are listening now, who will hear this in the future and in the days to come, all those that you speak to, and a lineage for the Lord Jesus Christ of courageous faith, bulldog faith, to go where others will not go. It's easy to criticize, especially when we're surrounded with air conditioning and behind four walls that are safe and posh padded seats. But brother, you are out there. What an example indeed.
Well, you know, God loves me, and our relationship is built on love. And he's so gracious with me when I make dumb comments. And I just go, well, you know, people are going to make boneheaded, you know, statements. So we just got to press on. If you spend so much time trying to defend that, argue with them, again, it goes back to the amount of energy and time we have.
Yes.
It's so limited. And, you know, I shared with a subject matter expert in Washington, D.C., about one of my meetings with a leader, another leader, Islamic leader, who actually taught the senior leadership of ISIS. And I told them how I went to a mosque with him at night. And then I told him, because of that step of faith and trust and showing this guy love, he actually was the one who took us to an abandoned Christian church filled with families, persecuted Christians that had fled ISIS. He takes us there and says, can you help them? Because we cannot. And when I told that Washington, D.C. person this, they looked at me and said, I don't believe you.
Oh.
And it was an awkward moment. And I'm thinking, well, I could care less, really. And then they lean back, y'all, and this person goes, but then again, I've never been to Iraq or met a senior Islamic leader, a Sunni Salafist. I said, well, I can arrange that. You know, so as a result, now, as of 3 weeks ago, every one of those families that was in that church under very great duress and horrible circumstances has now been reached, what we call rescued and resettled. And they're actually out of Iraq. I mean, their lives are absolutely changed because of people praying and because of people knowing that God loves these people in Iraq. And because, really, the faith of one man risking his life, an imam, to take us there, because his life is absolutely under threat now because of that.
Someone may be listening, and some may be recoiling in one form or another and having to recalibrate, and they're going through the challenge of just, well, when you talk to someone or you listen to someone who's out there, who's doing it, who's in the tight spot. Someone else may be listening, Victor, and they might be saying, that might be for me. There's something in me that rises up, and I may want to find out more about how to get involved, if it's possible to get involved. If it is, all things possible. Victor, how could someone find out more information about possibilities of engaging with you?
Absolutely. Well, I definitely say as we get settled in, we're going to be able to put together and bring teams over and to do everything from hug kids, play with them, teach them, to rebuild houses, to distribute food. There's all kind of, there's all kind of things. But I would say definitely go to our website, victormarkswithanx.com, or, our Facebook page. If you want to email, just say, I have an interest, and then we'll have our staff, they put you on a list, and they have to vet you to make sure it's all good. And then we'll see what the Lord does. But I would say in the meantime, you don't have to, like me, be looking at three ISIS guys, sitting in front of you, fighters that just were captured. You actually can just be faithful and do things that might be uncomfortable right where you're at. Mm-hmm. Right where you're at. Talk to a neighbor. Be a light at school. Befriend someone at church that just came in. Then you be faithful where God has you. I promise you, if you're desirous to do greater things or different things, because I don't think one is greater than the other, quite honestly, I know for a fact that God will give you that opportunity. But be faithful where you are right now. Let him train you. Mm-hmm. Let him condition you. And get used to trusting him in uncomfortable situations now. That way, when you're out in a dangerous environment, you're not going to feel the fear because you've seen the faithfulness of God so many times through just being obedient to him. And that would be my encouragement to them.
The Lord has not only instilled in Victor Marks with an X, not only instilled within him courage, but wisdom. Wisdom from God. That's what he said is applicable to all of us. Shall we take that, dear one? Shall we take what he has said and apply it in our lives? It's the challenge that's right before us, where you are, where I am. The Lord is training us today for the next step. But we shouldn't worry too much about the next step. It will come. It will come in God's time. The next step is the next big thing. As our friend Danny Lehman has spoken, written about the next big thing. Well, all things are possible. Victor Marks is sharing with us today. He'll share more when we come back. Stay with us.
The road of desperate life. Aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
He's a humanitarian, international speaker, a child and youth advocate, Victor Marks. speaks all over the United States, internationally. His story crosses all boundaries. It provides encouragement, inspiration to audiences of all types, as you can experience that today, sense that today, even as you listen to him. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. Thank you for joining us today. As you've been listening to Victor Marx, you might say, hey, I'd like to find out more. I want to support his ministry. I want to pray for his ministry. I want to be involved in his ministry. Well, you can certainly do that. Find out more at Victor Marx. That's Victor Marx with an X, victormarx.com. And you can get this podcast as a free gift for you, not only to listen to, but to share with a family member or friend. You might be thinking of someone right now. My nephew needs to hear this. My niece, my friend, my husband, my spouse. VictorMarx.com. You can find out more about this podcast, TheGoodLifeHawaii.com. Victor, in this, our final segment, you've given words of wisdom to essentially bloom where we're planted. As you look ahead, your worldwide ministry, what is it that just moves you with passion?
I definitely think it's being a light in some of the darkest places. And, you know, it's not because I'm some super saint. It's actually because, you know, I mean, when I think about sometimes what's presented in Christendom, you know, that, you know, the more you grow, the stronger you get, you'll be this huge lighthouse on a hill. Well, I'm telling your audience, I've never been able to accomplish that. And I've been walking 30 years with the Lord. What I've found is that the best I'll ever be is just a spark. And yet, my place of ministry is in such dark places. It's so dark, the moment you hit a little spark, everybody turns and looks. Mm-hmm. What is that? And I go, okay, Lord, this is great. And I would really just, you know, my heart's always for kids who, you know, are minimalized or left out or abused. And for me, I've always been at the real tactical level of touching and helping. And the Lord, he's showing me that, you know, as I raise up teams and other people to do this, you know, he's given me wisdom from him in favor to meet with really strategic religious leaders and global leaders around the world to let them know that the darkness that's invaded their region, their religion, you know, you need light to come into it. You know, I had the privilege of being the first American and Christian to ever speak at a juvenile prison in Iraq. And as a result of being able to share my story about light and darkness and God's love, and I mean, they know, you know, Jesus, it's a given. But we still have people that follow us on social media who were in that prison but are now out. And it's a pretty exciting thing. I would ask for prayer for this. My next big meeting is with a gentleman. I won't give his name right now for security reasons, but he does have an influence of 2 billion Muslims that follow his teachings and thought. He turns down presidents who would try to meet with him, and yet he's approved a meeting for us here in the next couple of months to fly there and meet. And I'll tell you, God has something in store for that. And we just need people praying, because there's so many times I should have been killed or injured. And God has just put us in a protective bubble. Mm-hmm. And we know what to do as well. And when I'm done, then, you know, people hear that, you know, Victor's not with us anymore. It shouldn't be sad. It should just be, well, he accomplished the last mission that God had him on. Mm-hmm. And none of it was a mistake. And if God allows me to grow old or be part of the rapture, then I'm all for that as well. Better still. But trusting God for what he has to reach the world for those in greatest darkness and those who would hold Christians in contempt, again, like I said, it's easy to be a light when things are so dark. Even versus here in the U.S., surrounded with tons of Christians, everybody's trying to, you know, put more batteries in their flashlight to go, I'm brighter, I'm brighter. Mm-hmm. I'm like, whatever, y'all. Y'all can work on that on yourself. I'm going to go where there is no light, you know, where my little spark, by the goodness and grace of God, can make a difference.
When did you begin to realize this understanding, almost tire of what happens here in Western Christianity, and say, look, we've got to, not only have we got to do better, we can and we will. When did you get that insight?
Well, now I'm going to offend a few people listening, but some people need to be offended, quite honestly. You know, there's such a spirit of religion and spiritual fatness in the West that at a certain point I have to ask Christian leaders, how many conferences do we have to attend? How many radio stations are blaring the gospel, teaching, and before we overcome porn, before we learn to be faithful to our spouse? You know, how many books do I have to read, you know, in order to just have enough faith to share Jesus, what he did with my life, with someone I don't know? I just think we've lowered the bar to the point of pleasure that, you know, it's really a skewed view. Nobody talks about sacrifice. Nobody talks about denying yourself, and I see very few do. I know you do, brother. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I'm on the show. You understand that embracing suffering isn't a bad thing because, I mean, Christ said we would. It's because there's joy in the midst of it all. Why? Not in that we're suffering or, you know, but the presence of the Lord is with you, and his grace is sufficient, and lives are being impacted. So, you know, I've had my full fill many times years ago with Christian churches that desired me to come and speak, but it wasn't for the purest reasons, you know. And they didn't really want relationship. They just wanted to get numbers of people in there to build their kingdom. And yet it was almost, it's like, guys, can't you look past your own parking lot? And I'm not talking about not being faithful. At a certain point, man, reach out. Go beyond. Equip the saints for the work of the ministry, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not just the guy teaching. Because I'm going to tell you, pastors and teachers and leaders, they're no more of value than the parking lot attendant or the child care worker. I guarantee you. You know how I know? Take all those other people in the support role away and then see how good he does. The reality is he's just one brother or sister using their gift. And what we as Western Christians need to understand is that a person's gifting can take them to a place where their character can't sustain them, because they never worked on it. They never worked on maturing as a believer. They only worked on their skills and their gifting, so they look good in front of people, but in their heart they know they're not good because they're struggling in areas that they shouldn't. And I stumble, I fall, but the Bible says, you know, we'll get back up. But I'm talking about people that are living in a lifestyle of self-deception, hoping nobody ever finds out. And they're in leadership roles. It's like, man, at least be honest enough with yourself to where you go, all right, I'm struggling and I'm not having victory. And maybe it's a spiritual warfare deal that I'm not even addressing. You know, very few Christians I know in our circles even talk about praying against demonic activity in their lives. I'm not talking about Christians being possessed. I'm not. That's actually a tool the enemy uses to make people fearful of engaging in warfare. But the Bible talks about taking every thought captive, holding up your shield of faith. These are active, offensive engagement, directives. And so many people are just not willing to understand that realm we can't see is real, and you have to use spiritual tools in order to have victory in it. Therefore, and I'm talking directly to pastors now, people are suffering, and all they do is blame it on their flesh. Well, they're just being carnal. Well, maybe if they're miserable and they hate their life and what they're doing and their struggles, maybe it's more than just their flesh. Pastor, maybe you need to take authority, stand in the gap, and blast the devil and his demons for hassling this person under your care, and see if they can release some freedom. Hmm. So I now step off my soapbox. I'm about ready to take an offering for myself.
Victor Marx, these words that you speak, the way in which you share them, the earnestness, the urgency, even taking the risk to come to the threshold, or maybe even step over the line boldly because of a message that we need to hear. I need to hear it. I'm challenged by it. But I hope I'm not just challenged by it and say, oh man, I'm challenged. I hope and pray, Victor Marx, that I'm moved to action, to apply by the grace of God, by the power of God, trusting in the Lord, to apply what you have shared. And dear friend, Suzanne and I, we're here, Chaz, to move forward together, to take this challenge, to take this reminder, to go deep, not just theologically, but to go deep practically. And simply, you know, there's a profoundness in the simplicity of the word.
Amen.
Take it and move forward right where we are, and God will move us ahead. Victor Marx, thank you. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for sharing your time. This has been incredibly valuable, dear brother. Thank you so much.
Privilege. Thank you for the opportunity. Love y'all and love your audience.
Have you been touched today, my friend, by God's work in the life of Victor Marx? You can find out more about him, Victor Marx, that's Marx with an X, .com. You'll find more inspirational stories of hope and faith at thegoodlifehawaii.com. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Victor Marx. You know, this is the perfect time to share the love of Jesus with someone near you, even as Victor has been admonishing us to do so. And your support for the ongoing production of this show is needed and appreciated. If you'd like to stand with us, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can make a donation today. I thank you in advance for that. Mark 10:27, Jesus said, all things are possible with God. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Victor Marx. Again, Victor Marx with an X, .com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, our technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Just leave it to me. I'll leave.